Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter and then put to music and sung by the poet Shall Even Shy. And between his amazing words and her music and voice, it's a popular little hit around here, and we start most of our shows with it. You're listening to A Team of Voices Radio, sponsored by AP Taylor, and we are part of the poetry site, allpoetry.com, which is one of the biggest out there. It's free to join. And if you join or are already a member, you can find us under the group tab, A Team of Voices. And I'm Deborah Lee, and I will meet you at the door and invite you in. We're here every night of the week, just about, different hosts and hostesses, different times, different prompts. We keep track of what those prompts are in the chat room right above the chat wall. And each show date is the first thing you'll see, and then the title of the show. Click on that, and you can see the prompts. And if your muse is inspired, you can write a poem and put your All Poetry link on that list, and we will share your poetry on the shows. Keep in mind that we are PG-13, though, when you submit a poem. Again, this is Deborah Lee, and if you'd like to call and chat with us, the number to dial is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And all the poems that we share on the shows, we list the link to on the chat wall so that you can click on and follow along and write a comment for the poet who wrote. You could also call and comment for that poet and share a poem while you're here. And if you would like to just listen, we also put the link to the show on the chat wall, and just click it and you can just hear us. And you don't have to participate, but you can as much or as little as you'd like to. And since we've dabbled into the month of October, a couple different things I wanted to say. Since we have so many people that ask for open poetry, more than just the two nights that we already have, we've decided to add two more nights to the rotation. That way there's at least one open poetry show every week. So since Liquid Damage does an open poetry show on the second and third Friday of every month, we are going to make the first and fourth Saturday of every month open poetry as well. So the end of each week, either on a Friday night or a Saturday night, there'll be open poetry for you to share your most recent masterpiece that you just can't find a place to share it at. So I hope you're looking forward to that. And that will start this Saturday at 9. And again, that'll be open poetry. And don't fret if you're a fan of the poems that have been coming out on Saturdays, because we will still have How to Choose a Topic one of those Saturdays and AP will pick a topic one of those Saturdays. So that part won't change. We're just going to change two of the dates. So keep an eye on the topic boards to know which is which and add your poems there. So let's get this show on the road here. First, let's say hello to my co-host, my big brother Hatter. Hey, Hatter. Glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. Thanks.
And right behind Hatter is Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne. Glad you're here. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb. We'll be long to be a 24-hour day show. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We're rolling right along.
I know, right? It's exciting that the topic boards are filling up and all kinds of cool and different topics going around.
We get some great hosts. Everything's looking good.
That's very sweet to say. Yeah, we do have a heck of a team, and we have some pretty great participants, too, like yourself, who's here most nights, and very appreciated at that. We have poets who call and hang out with us, like Wayne, and we have poets who make recordings for us, like Gerald and Phil and Wayne. And then we have poets who share links on the board and request readers, all of which are fantastic ways to get your poetry on the air. On the air where there are 75 different countries listening to your poetry. That's such an exciting thing. I mean, sometimes when you sit back and think about it, you don't even realize there's over 75 countries and 75 of them are listening to our shows at one time or another. So that's very cool. Anyway.
Couldn't name you 75.
Huh?
I couldn't name you 75 countries.
Well, I could, but only because I followed the map and filled them in as we picked them up. And I had heard of them all. So I guess I never realized I knew of that many countries until you start tallying them up. And judging by the amount of blank spaces on it's like a world map. And when we get a listener, that country colored instead of just an outline. And then I point to it, and it tells me what that country is. So along with figuring out who's joined us and, you know, who's listening, I've also gotten better at geography by knowing, you know, where a particular country is. But anyway, there's still a whole lot of outlying countries left waiting for poets to find us and click on. So that's exciting,
represent.
Too. Yeah. Okay, so we are in October, which we have decided is sort of a Halloween month instead of just a Halloween day. So we got all kinds of stuff coming up. Tonight we are covering witches and warlocks. And I'll do this at the beginning this week. Tomorrow night we have Pretty Bird's monthly show, and she comes on at 10 p.m., and she's doing ghost stories on her show, What the Flock. She has her board up for tomorrow, so if you've got a ghost story, put your link on her board. That would be really awesome. And then on Wednesday night, we have Ms. Sky Darkholm, and since it's the first week of the month, her first week is dedicated to Star Wars. So you will find, if I can, here it is, it's Star Wars Volume 25, and it's Terrifying Tales. So there's that. And then Thursday, Sweet's off this week because she has something to take care of, but she'll be back with another amazing topic next week. And trying to remember here, let me see, let me peek over here, because I don't remember if we have something on Friday or if it's one of our, guess it would help. Okay, we're off Friday, and then on Saturday is our first Saturday night open poetry, and we will do the Crystal Ball show on the 14th instead of next week so that we can get the open poetry going. So, like, that's the next week at a glance. So, I am going to try to be around an hour tonight, so maybe I should get some poetry happening around this place. So let's see. Wayne, tell me about the two links. Is it, one's in another language? Is that the deal?
I have no idea. I just kept up over and put my poems in there, and it just popped up there. I didn't know. I don't even do nothing. I don't have any idea what it's about.
Like it glitched and it came out twice?
It just popped up twice with the translation on top of it. So I thought, well, my warlock might be from Bulgaria, because he may not like what I wrote about him. So you never know. Coming something spooky, though, it just showed up. Kind of strange, huh. Too.
Okay, well.
That's kind of weird. Because what do you think it means? Have you ever done that? Made some bucket up here?
I have had stuff double on me. Usually it's like on the chat wall. I'm pretty sure it's the first time I saw it happen on one of the topic boards, but you just never know around here how it might pop out. Just one of them things. So, you know, I was thinking that what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to grab Angel's poem and read for her because she's at work, and I could read her poem for her, and then if she gets called away, she won't miss her poem. So I'm grabbing that right now, and if as soon as you see Angel's poem, click on it, and then I'll read for her.
Got it.
Howdy, you got it?
Got it.
Okay, guys, here we go. This is called Before the Final Bell Tolls by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Clock striking midnight. Hear the ringing bell? The figure cloaked in tarry black appears, beckoning one and all to come join her in the pits of hell. Voice smooth as spun silk, she asks you to surrender your soul, gazing into your mind with eyes full of cherry red flames, trying to possess you, to take control. Come now, my children, come and you will see magic. The lies spill from evil's tongue as you come face to face with the darkness of your mind, the deep sanity falling into the pit of evil dung. Allow me to take your life. I want to feast upon your soul. Give me what I seek. Allow me to take control. Listen now, my children, hear the bell, it calls. Enter now my chamber, no escape from these walls. Flee from this being. The flames of hell are closing round. Flee before you feel the scalding burn, before the final toll of the bell sounds. No amen at the end of this one. It's run. Beep, beep before that bell pulls. I like the spooky tale here. I like the little, the warning. And I like that she's like, come now, children, and you will see magic. But you know their lies because she's going to eat your soul, spit it out and laugh at you type of thing. I think that this is really cool. I like when Angel dabbles in the darkness. Just saying. I think it's pretty cool that a lot of us who don't normally write dark step in and put the put their dark pen to use and with excellent skill. See, even our resident Hallmark poet can creep us out and threaten to eat our soul. Really cool poem, Angel. Honored to be your reader. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, she went Disney dark. And she did it well, just the descriptions. Being that it doesn't get too graphic like some of us do as far as darkness. Yeah, this is one that belongs in the Legend of Sleepy Hollow or something. Allow me to take your life. I want to feast upon your soul. Give me what I seek. Allow me to control. Really well done. I said Hallmark went dark.
Yeah. Great comment. And Wayne, what do you think?
Well, what I said, nice and dark with a soft, smooth voice. Take me, I surrender. I guess that could be the main course. This is a wonderful poem with some darkness, no blood and guts or nothing, but it's a death and darkness as only heavenly would do. It's a good poem. I enjoyed all the way through. Good job.
Appreciate that. And let me grab another poem. You know what I think I'm going to do, Hatter? I think I'm going to grab yours since you had to go last week. I'm going to get you now. So get your eyeballs ready. And here comes your poem. You know, what's funny, though, it's a quiet night for some reason. And even though last week you basically called us chopped liver, you just have Wayne and I again. Show us what you brought.
Okay, I did it. I brought a pre-write because it just fit in. In my own picture, The Blackwater Witch. And I don't know what movie that's from, that picture. Somebody told me it's Grimm. She's a Hansel and Gretel. Anyway, it was like this, Blackwater Witch.
Muriel from Disney's versus non-Disney. I'm trying to, Hansel and Gretel, it says. A Night with Hansel and Gretel. Yep, it's the evil child eater with the gingerbread house. Show us what you got.
Okay, it goes like this. They say he died before his time in the kingdom of the last crystal ball. The prophet of song, rhythm, and rhyme died at the foot of Blackwater Falls. Written it was that upon his death an imprisoned curse would lift the spells of the dark and ancient one. The freedom of the Blackwater Witch. He swore to burn the kingdom down in prison for 100 years, to curse all those that write in rhyme, the killing of the poet's fear. Fear the dusk as she flies free, accompanied by those she's with, killing writers of song and verse, the curse of the Blackwater Witch. Beware, she flies free tonight, looking for poets to die. She will hunt and feed when the moon is lost in the dark of the Blackwater sky.
Very cool. And you know, I like how she specifically comes after us poets, where she's looking for poets to die. She doesn't just want to mess with us. She just wants us dead. Creepy biatch. And I remember this one, too. It was, like, creepy and perfectly rhymed. And Sweet read it for you the first time. So it was just, like, add her velvet voice to the creepiness. And it was just like, whoa. Not that you didn't do a wonderful job reading your own poem, but and I like where she flies free tonight, looking for poets to die. She will hunt and feed when the moon is lost from the dark of a black water sky. And I could almost hear Frank's maniacal laugh at the end of that one for some reason. Go figure. This was a good one to bring at her.
So like a mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the best poet of them all? So she's got to go kill
them. Eat them first, huh? Very cool. Wayne, what you think?
Well, what I said was, this is a wonderful story. You said, we're killing those poets who rhyme. That kind of hits home. Why the poet? Why the poet? What has the world become? I think I've become a plumber. This is a great job, Heather, and I loved all the theory. Good job. Why the poet?
I think I'll be a plumber.
Yeah, I like that too. Cool comment, Wayne. All right, let's see here. I think that I will grab yours now, Wayne. So let me go over there.
Ready?
Get your link.
Yeah, the picture was kind of hard. I was doing this picture, and all I could think of was the zodiac signs and stuff. I said, it's a wild picture, so I hope you enjoy this.
There it is. Okay. So it doesn't matter which one I click on because they're big. I would have realized that if I would have looked at the poem number. They both end 855. Okay. So I am sure you did wonderfully with the art because you always do. And here it comes. And Hatter, tell me when you see it and I'll push play.
Got it.
Okie doke. Let's listen to Mr. Wayne Gent.
This is called The Zodiac Warlock. Beware, the time has come to start my attack. For I am Zelak, Warlock of the Zodiac. Constellations have risen, are right on track. It's been 1,000 years since we've been back. Last time I was here, my powers were weak. To rule the universe is the mission I seek. No mortal or god can stand in my way, for it's time for my great awakening day. I control the force of gravity and planetary rotation. I demand in my servitude complete dedication. Leo and Taurus shall control the land for me. Pisces and Aquarius now in charge of the sea. Scorpio and Cancer will spread death and despair, while Aries and Sagittarius watches from the air. Virgo and Gemini will patrol outer space. Capricorn and Libra will guard my kingdom in place. Now that my powers have grown tenfold, all that's on earth shall do is told. I stand before you, being strong and bold. I rule the universe in the ways of the old. In
For starters, Wayne, Hey You was a perfect background. I found myself singing for a minute there. I really think you have been doing so perfect with your background music. And it fit with the tones in your voice and attitude. And I like how you, like the suspense in your voice built up as you went on. Scorpio and Cancer will spread death and despair, while Aries and Sagittarius watches from the air. Virgo and Gemini will patrol outer space, and Capricorn and Libra will guard my kingdom in place. I picked that one, of course, because I'm a Gemini. But no, I love that you zoned in on the zodiac and put it all through there. like with a little history, the constellations have risen and right on track. It's been 1,000 years since we've been back. But the ending there, like I said, when you got that suspense built up in your voice, it was like, oh my, now that my powers have grown tenfold, all that's on earth shall do as it's told. I stand before you being strong and bold. I'll rule the universe with the ways of the old. And somehow the ways of the old didn't sound very comforting. This is a magnificent presentation, Wayne. Really great
Thank
job.
Thank you very much.
What you think, Hatter?
Yeah, hey you, I was thinking the same thing. Hey you, outside in the dark, tearing things apart. Can you see me? Where'd you get the instrumental only?
I just looked it up. I got one instrumental piece to Pink Floyd on Spotify. It kind of said, instrumental, Pink Floyd's upgrade songs. Well, that's pretty nice. Uh-huh. I got all the instrumental, all the songs. Kind of weird. And it's kind of hard to get something like that. It seems like I got recordings of every song that come out just about now. An instrumental song. Just type it in and got it.
Yeah. No, it was a good, like Deb said, good effect. And he's going to be owing cancer. It's been death and despair. Yeah, that's what we do.
I'm Scorpio.
And like I said, you've always had cool backgrounds and stuff with that bluesy feel quite often, but the last couple that you've done, it's been like you couldn't have picked a better background to go with each particular poem. And like I said, I started right away as soon as it came on. It opens up, hey, you out there in the cold, getting lonely, getting old. Can you feel me? Yep. I was like, yeah, what a great, great tune for this poem. And
That's
I
it.
Do not know if she got to hear that amazing presentation, but my sweet is here, so let's find out. Hey, sweet, welcome to the show.
I did not hear a word. I didn't hear a word of it. I'm very disappointed.
You'll have to listen after to the replay, sweet, because it was an awesome Zodiac piece, and he had suspense in his voice and the whole bit. It's one of my favorite presentations from him now. Woo-hoo.
Oh.
And that's saying something because he dazzles us week after week. All right, now let's see here. How much time do you have, sweet? Is your poem on the board? I'm trying to squeeze it all in an hour.
It is not on the board, but it will be in about 5 minutes. I am just finishing up. I had to bring it. I had to edit it down. I have to edit it down.
Oh, wow.
Very, very. It got to be a little long, so I have to bring her down.
Well,
bring
it down. Sometimes.
I got into,
yeah, sometimes if like with a strong reader like you, we don't even notice how long it goes. The 350 thing is like a general rule, but anyhow,
it was 500 words.
Still, it's not like you are a slow reader, but regardless, what I'll do while you finish tweaking is I just put Stevens on the board, and he wasn't able to call this week, but I want to say hi, Steven, hi, Kay. And he did make us a recording, though. So if you guys click on his poem, I will push play in the studio. So tell me when you see it, guys.
I got it.
See it, Hatter?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Okie doke. Here we go. Stephen 7-6.
Three sisters threw a fit at behest of November's witch by Stephen 76. 26,000 tons in cargo hold so vast, just over draft marker where safety passed. Iron ore pellets of freightage weight through superior waters on course so straight. 19-foot propeller thrust, 14 knots in the Great Lakes dusk. November's witch so early pursed, her lips and blue, a gale so cursed. shallowed anger of waves did rage and kick, obsidian brine calling Edmund quick, 35-foot swells open prevailing throat, and swallowed up 700-foot boat. Three sisters of rogue then filled up water's hole, and the witch held a terrible grin. 530 feet down, bilge stopping the sound, in the cold, dark depths she'd skid. Snapped in half like a floweret, resting on freshwater freezing bed. The 28th draft mark buried in silt. 29 pairs of lungs, water filled. End poem.
Wow. What a clever way to approach the witch topic, for one. For two, the background music, I don't know if you could tell, but it sounded like the Edmund Fitzgerald music, which is also perfect. Behest of November's Witch, really cool title. And, you know, when you get to the, like, 19-foot propeller thrust, I couldn't even imagine a 19-foot propeller. November's witch so early pursed her lips and blew a gale so cursed. Great rhyme and wording there. 35-foot swells, open prevailing throat and swallowed up 700-foot boat. A 35-foot swell. I mean, how do you stand a chance against a tsunami when you're, no matter how big the boat is, you become this shipwrecked, lost vessel.
That's a rogue wave.
Yeah. And where was the part about three sisters of rogue then filled up water's hole, and the witch held a terrible grin 530 feet down, bilge stopped the sound in the cold, dark depths she skid. And you think about, you know, that the 29 pairs of lungs that are water filled, like, you know, even if you try to abandon ship, where were you going to go? Because if you didn't go down with the ship, that mega swell is going to take you down for sure. And there's a staggering amount of vessels over the years that have been sunken. And, you know, of course, you got the treasure hunters that have come up with some, but there are, it's a sobering amount if you start looking them up. Every body of water has at least one grand tale of terror about a ship. I mean, everyone talks about the Titanic, but there's so many others that has been lost. I really like that he brought this one. And he down there, he put the crew members. He listed all the crew members. What a classy thing to do, to list all the people lost. And I'm just scrolling through here. He's got some great information at the bottom. And, yeah, the Edmund Fitzgerald. And, of course, that was in Lake Superior. So it's not just out at sea. Some of the lakes, all of the lakes, unless it's too small for a ship, there's at least one that sunk in some tragedy. But again, this was something that was located in 1975 when a U.S. Navy aircraft directing magnetic anomalies found, and it was found soon after, in two large pieces. So I would imagine that when it hit the bottom, it just broke in half. But again, I say what a class act for putting all those people's names on there, like paying homage to them. Excellent share. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate that. Great recording, too. Wayne, what you think?
Well, first, I'd like to say, when I first heard this about over 2 years ago, it was so wonderful that all I started thinking about the background music and stuff was causing this song. Thing he did here, because it's so perfect. I heard the music and the way he read to the song, and I thought, well, that's just what I want to do. So he kind of explained to me what I do right now with my music in the background. But I think it's wonderful, and like I told you before, it's entertaining. The poem is entertaining as the song is. It's, he did a lot of research, and he has all facts perfect, and he was just really good all the way through. Yeah, I gave him an A, maybe two. So I told him last time. Great point.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, the you said that was in Superior, right? Now the Great Lakes have a triangle, like a Bermuda Triangle, also, don't they? Steven with us? Is that?
No, he's not. But yes, they do.
Okay. Does that include? Is that inclusive to more than one lake?
No, not really. It's like Lake Erie is the deepest and most treacherous, I believe. And then
he says that's the shallowest.
Off the top of, I'm sorry, the shallowest. I don't have my list in front of me, but it has sunk a lot of shit. I'd have to look them all up, and I don't have that in front of me because I'm still trying to write my poem. But the Great Lakes has sunk a whole crapload of ships together. They are very treacherous. They move ships just like oceans. They're almost like the gateway to the ocean. They move Navy ships. They move cargo. Mm-hmm. They move. I mean, without the Great Lakes, it'd be almost impossible to actually move as much commerce as we do into the United States between Ontario and Lake Erie and Lake Michigan. And I mean, you'd be fascinated. People look at the Great Lakes and they actually think they are oceans. They don't understand how they're just called lakes.
Inland ocean, freshwater oceans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're notorious for the rogue waves, being that they have shorelines that are closer together as far as an ocean, and that way there's more rebounding of I don't know if it's lunar tides, but yeah, the rogue waves. I mean, I think they said that the Edmund Fitzgerald snapped in half on the surface because it went down so fast. If you get into a rogue wave where you ride the crests, the boat in the middle has no support of the water and snaps in half.
And that's another problem up there with the Great Lakes is the weather fronts come through there. They got the cold weather and weather just appears out of nowhere, and people can't handle that in the water. That's notorious where all the weather comes through there, and the cold weather and the winds, notorious in that area.
Yeah, I was at the southern tip of Lake Ontario in Rochelle. The weather moved in. It was hot. It was short sleeve, warm, and everything in May, and it ended up snowing that afternoon. It moved in that quick. Cold front.
That's what I'm saying. It gets you off guard.
Great comments. And Sweet, can you comment for Steven?
Yeah, actually, I love the poem. I mean, the story is very common. Very well known throughout Ohio and the other Great Lakes. It's so tragic. And, you know, I love the way he put it. I love the imagery in it, the way he describes it. It just makes it so sad and, you know, very spooky. And, like, you know, like you were saying, Jeff, I mean, what are you going to do? It's literally like a tsunami coming up over them. And I don't care who you are, what you are, that you can't fight that. It's almost like, almost instant or resignation, you know, you just resign and, you know, say your final prayers and say your love to your family. I mean, I can't even imagine being in that situation or what it was like. And when you really think about that, you think about how horrific that moment must have been. I think he did a very great job at bringing us to that point.
Yeah. I think there was another ship that had it in view during that storm where they could see the lights when they at certain times when they were on top of one of the waves, and then it just disappeared. And I believe it was just as big, if not bigger, than any ocean tanker at the time. There was a fleet. There were only three or six of them in the Great Lakes or something that big.
Yeah, picture there. It's terrible. It's crazy how big they are.
Absolutely huge. That's been a horrible sound.
Can you imagine the sound?
No.
Bumps, I would think.
Have you seen the? If you go to YouTube and put biggest waves by a ship, they show these rogue, not the rogue waves, but they'll show some of these storm waves and just go, you know, bam. I mean, it makes it look like that ship is a 18-foot tri hull, man.
Yeah, I ain't lost nothing out there. I ain't going out there.
Incredible.
My, oh my. Okay, my sweet, are you ready, dear heart?
Not quite. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I just don't want to. Okay, so I am going to grab the poem that Jenny sent for us and put that on the board, and I will read. It is not a problem. I just want to keep checking so that it gets on when you're ready for it, too. That's all. Where is a team of voices? There it is. Okay. Night Angel, thank you. Okay. I feel you, Wayne. Just saying. Okay. You guys see Jenny's poem?
Not yet.
I got it.
Let me refresh.
All set, Wayne?
Got it. I got it.
All right. So this poem is called Fun in the Witching Hour by Jenny the Deep. And here we go. Dawn turns to dusk. Dusk turns to midnight. Twilight fun begins by the riverside tonight. This early morn, before the sun starts to rise, observe the witches dance, singing praise, telling secret legends of their demon days. Stars falling from the ebony silver-tinted sky, uniting fairest of fairies and magical warlocks. This hour brings all mystical beings alike. Together, between 3 and 4, they fly and flock. Never apologetic for being themselves, adrenaline is rushing through their veins. Crackling and hackling, always delight, while exchanging stories wreaking havoc on this night. End poem. Very cool. I like how she turned it into like a tale of their annual get together there. And she sets the tone with the dawn turns to dusk and dusk turns to midnight and then the fun begins. And I like where was that stars falling from ebony silver tinted sky, uniting the fairest of fairies and magical warlocks. This hour brings all mystical beings alike together between 3 and 4. They fly and flock. So at least you know if you're not interested in seeing any of them, you stay in between 3 and 4 because they're out there in flocks flying around. And I really think that my favorite part is never apologetic for being themselves. I love that concept. If we were all unapologetic for being ourselves instead of a lot of us are insecure or just a little too shy or too politically correct, but they're just flat out unapologetic. They're having a good old time. That was a fun read and my honor to be the reader. Thanks for supporting the show, Jenny. What do you think, Hatter?
Okay, unmuted. The difference between a Disney version of Hansel and Gretel, for example, compared to the Grimm Brothers version, you can make it soft for a kid to understand, you know, or you can make it so dark. You know what I'm trying to say? There's a big variation to how you tell a tale.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you could, well, I think you had touched on it earlier, you could go with deep and dark, gory details, or you could just go with spooky undertones, or with a message, because like in the middle of this fun read is that message to know that they're never apologetic for being themselves, so why should you be type of thing. So, yeah, I get it. Yeah. Awesome comment.
Thank you.
What you think, Wayne?
Well, I think it's a wonderful poem. I like this way. I like to be with your party. I like to be there and be part of the party. We had a ticket to the magical event, but I, you know, it's a great poem written all the way through. It's kind of entertaining. I enjoyed it and kind of got me in the mood to party. Let's go party. Good job.
Fantastic comment. And Sweet, want to comment for Jenny?
I thought it was really cool imagery. I really dug kind of the way she put things together. Kind of agree with everything you said, Deb. And I really like Wayne's point of view on it. Jenny always has that way of kind of taking us on that ride where I'm kind of stealing everybody's comments, where it is more Grimm Brothers than Disney. So anytime you can turn a story that way for me, I become the biggest fan.
Awesome comment. Well, let me see. I have a recording from Gerald, and I have my Sweet poem coming up. But for a moment, I want to step and make a reminder that we are adding two more open poetries. Right now, we have the second and third Friday of every month, and we will now be also doing the first and fourth Saturday of every month, so that each week ends with a open poetry show, because more and more people are messaging me, when's the next open poetry? When's the next? So what happened was we had a few of the hosts and hostesses use open poetry as a fill-in show, and people were like, oh, this is great. So, you know, you got to give the people what they ask for. So at the end of each week, either on a Friday night or a Saturday night, we will feature open poetry for you to share your newest and most favorite masterpieces. And that starts this Saturday at 9 p.m. and then two Fridays in a row at 10 p.m. and then the last Friday of the month again. Saturday again at 9 p.m. So 9, 10, 10, 9. And I will put up a topic board for the first and fourth Saturdays of the month so that you can add your links for this week. And Sweet, should I go with the recording or are you ready?
No, go ahead with the recording and then I'll be ready.
Okay. That sounds like a plan to me. So I'm going to grab the link that Gerald sent for us and put that one on the board. And here's a team of voices.
There him.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello? Yep, did your phone die?
I'm sorry, I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
Can you guys?
Yep.
I can't hear Gerald at all. I can hear you, but I can't hear Gerald.
I can hear him.
I didn't push Gerald yet because I saw on the board that Wayne said he can't hear anything. So you can all three hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you at all.
Okay, then
not
go ahead
me either.
And click on go ahead and click on Gerald's poem, and I will push his recording.
Got it. Got it.
Okay. Without any further ado, here we go.
Halloween Again, written and read by Gerald Green. This holiday for me is such a bore. Inflatables on lawns to frighten kids. People don't like pumpkins, cry for more these days, choosing what good taste forbids. Blood and guts pollute the neighborhood, accompanied by screams of agony, as if portraying something real and good from stuff both blood-curdling and maggoty. Long gone are simple scenes and candy corn. No more is getting sweets the favorite thing, unless you're dressed like you were born without a limb or maybe with a sling. We wonder why kids have anxiety, as if it's not our fault or blame, normalizing death as if it's funny, pretending what's disgusting's mild and tame. I find some kids now timorous and weird, unable to connect with what is real, preferring to be scorned or even feared because normality has no appeal. And so I'm drinking here alone with Uncle George, my big black cat, avoiding boring scenes now overblown while wearing this bat-decorated hat. End poem.
Way cool. You know, I like how, like, look at her face. She's just all bummed out, like, you know, where's everybody? I'm sitting here. What a bore. Let me get drunk and tie one on. And I like this holiday for me is such a bore. People don't like pumpkins. Cry for more these days, choosing what good taste forbids. Long gone are simple scenes in candy corn. No more is getting sweets the favorite thing, unless you're dressed like you were born without a limb or maybe a sling. And it does seem like each year people try to outdo themselves with the gory contests. No wonder why kids have anxiety, as if it's not our fault or blame, normalizing death as if it's funny, pretending what disgusting mind and mild and tame. I like the sarcasm there. It's just like, and all the while she's just bored to death and drinking all alone with Uncle George, her cat. My father, my grandfather, and my little brother and my sister actually are all George. So the fact that he used George struck me funny too. Avoiding boring scenes, now overblown, while wearing this bat-decorated hat. It was like, so as a matter of fact, but like I said, it was really cool. I liked the details. I liked the sarcasm, the story. Fun read. You know, it never ceases to amaze me at this point of a show at any given week what everyone comes up with. Such an amazing set of poets that bring their work here. I'm so honored to get to hang out with all of you and hear your poetry every week. My, oh my. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, how dare you scare my kid? I mean, I embraced Halloween. They give you a couple nights a week, a year to legally scare the hell out of kids and not get in trouble. I embrace that, but I liked how he hit on this sort of boring. Kids don't know what it was like back in the day to be scared. It was good for kids to be scared, to understand that, the fear of flight, fight or flight, adrenaline. Am I wrong? I mean, that's what it was all about, scaring kids. I mean, you don't traumatize them.
I agree. It was the one night of the year that they had fun, and because well, I guess it depends on where you live, but because you felt so secure and you knew nothing was going to happen, it was fun. But as the years go on, you know, and then I don't know, I guess, like I said, it depends on where you live, because some places you would always hear the story of the apple with the razor blade in it, and to the point now where, you know, you have to warn the kids, don't eat any of your candy until we get to check it when we get home, where back in the day, I can remember, you knew all the neighbors, and you trick-or-treated in your own neighborhood, and you just started munching on that candy with your pillowcase, and you filled it up, and you took it home, and you got another empty pillowcase, and you went back out again, depending on how long it took you to get through the neighborhood the first time, you know. But now it's like hit or miss as to which houses even have the light on and have candy. I've been in this townhouse for 8 years and not seen one trick-or-treater, because they all, well, for one, they do a tailgate thing at the high school, and you just put candy in your trunk, and then the kids go trunk to trunk trick-or-treating. And because I live in out in farmland, it would take you 20 years to do a dozen houses, and your legs would be too sore to care. So I guess that's why. But it is kind of a bummer that I don't get any trick-or-treaters. Anyway, totally different subject. Very cool poem. What do you think, Hatter? Oh, I just asked you, didn't I? Duh. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I have to say, I somewhat agree with it, with the poem as far as that too. It's really Halloween every day for the children nowadays. They get growing stuff 24/7. You know, Halloween ain't no big deal for them. They don't get scared no more, because they've been scared to death. Well, not when we were young. There's only a few weeks a year that there's blood and mayhem and guts. And then we ate Thanksgiving dinner and we could go outside and play again. So and then there wasn't more scary days until a whole year from then. But now, every day you turn the news, there's somebody getting cut up and stabbed, and there's witches everywhere. And it can't scare me no more. I'm always been scared enough. That's the kid's attitude. So they don't see Halloween's been a scary event to where I think it's great. But that's their best point of view, is what the kids think. They just don't care about, you can't scare them. They've already been scared. Good job on the poem. The poem is perfect.
Yeah, we wanted to be scared.
Look forward to it.
Yeah.
Scary.
Like, one of my favorite things to do was to watch horror movies with my dad. But we did that all year long. But there's some, I think, like I said, it's because you know you're safe, but you get the I guess it's the adrenaline from it, you know. And
I think TV and the movies desensitize us.
When not,
no.
it's very traumatic. And then there's, it depends, like there's a lot of kids, nothing to do with Halloween, that are afraid of clowns, and then you see a clown and it sort of traumatizes them, period. So I guess you just never know. It would depend on the personality of each child, I suppose.
Well, the kids show each other everything they find on the internet. So they all see all the worst that there is to see, but they all show it to each other. It's kind of like, hey, look at this. You can't believe this. And they see stuff we wouldn't think about seeing. That's what I found out. They show a thing. They know more about stuff than I do. But they see it all day long.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, well, get a comment from Sweet so we can hear her poem, because when I put this poem on, I'm sorry, when I put this photo on the board, I saw Sweet. So you can't imagine how delighted I was when she chose herself to write about tonight. So I'm excited to hear that. But before that, you want to go ahead and comment on Gerald's?
Oh, my God, I love Gerald's poem. I thought it was so nonchalant. Like, oh, please, not another Halloween. These damn kids running around my neighborhood. What is up? Our kids are, you know, it just was like the perfect, you know, I don't know how to put it, but like my dad talking, you know, like, listen, this is what's wrong with society. You people are all crazy. This is what's going on with kids these days. But with that sly bit of humor that he always has, that sarcasm that goes with Gerald, and yet it's poignant and it's true, and we all love him for it. But you know, he's got that bit of sarcastic humor, that dry sense of humor that I so love about him. And I really just thought that whole piece with that you know, if you're taking me too seriously, there's something wrong with you. And that's what I love about Gerald.
Fabulous comment. So, my sweet, my little pretty, show us what you got.
All right. This is a red rose witch. Bright red curls floated on top of rolling waves in the gentle sea of Galilee. Thin woolen white sack did she wear, skin and bone, face down, a mermaid drowned. Pirates pulled her from the water's depths, lying frozen upon their deck. They thought she was dead. Fingers entwined into her crown of hair, he tried to slice a curl of red. When blue eyes opened wide, he whispered a curse to guide his hand to suicide. One smooth cut across his neck, blood and guts gushed across the bow. The sailors divided, for she was a steward, or an angel who answered prayers. He became the protector of the ship. As gold overflowed below, he cursed with brutality. No enemies did pursue her wretched crew. Sailing the seas with pirates until the sails forgot to rise in the blowing wind, and kings and queens were now old stories told. She has waited 300 years for revenge to release its hold. Lust overtook her sensibilities, and liars died in misery. Halloween lifts the veil between the worlds of black and white, and the battle for control begins to shake the ground. Ghosts and devils rise to the cause, and witches chant out their laws. Balance is found before the dawn, as the veil falls behind, beyond. And laughter fill the hollow ground. 12 male ancestors she had found, red hair curled and dressed in white, carried a dozen roses, eyes in black ribbon. Red rose flowers with thorns that bite, for his sins their blood will burn, for the sins of her lover's scorn. He tossed her into the sea, turned her into witchery. Now all his sons in history will beg and plead to be released from the red rose witch of Galilee. End quote.
For one thing, I loved it, the title, A Red Rose Witch. Bright red curls floated on top of rolling waves in the gentle sea of Galilee. I love the rhymey flow there. Where's that? His fingers entwined into the crown of hair. He tried to slice a curl of red. When blue eyes opened wide, she whispered a curse to guide his hand to suicide. One smooth cut across his neck, blood and guts gushed across the butt. You know, sweet, you, like I was saying this earlier when Hatter read his poem, because the poem he brought the first time around, you read it. And what I had said at the time was, there's something about that soft velvet voice sweet's got going, and the details, and especially there, your voice was all, no pun intended, sweet. And it's, in the meantime, you're guiding his hand to suicide. And the sailors divided, for she was a sea witch or an angel who answered prayers. She became the protector of the ship. I like that twist there. A gold overflowed between. She cursed with brutality. No enemies did pursue her wretched crew. I like that you gave her this whole epic tale. Where's that? Halloween lifts the veil between the worlds of black and white, and the battle for control begins to shake the grounds. Ghosts and devils rise to the cause. I love the images there. I mean, I'm picturing an almost imagining the ground shaking like with a thunderous roar, and you're seeing the ghosts and the devils rise, and it's just like these are such great details. And her laughter filled the hallowed ground. 12 male ancestors she had found. Like I said, an epic tale. You totally gave her a story, a legend, and then brought it to life. All his sons in history will beg and plead to be released from Red Rose Witch of Galilee. I think you did an amazing job with her, or
Thank
with
you.
Depends on how you want to look at it. Great share. Wayne,
you.
What you think?
Well, I said it was a, now this is what I call a witch's poem. It's a revenge after 300 years. Sounds like my ex. She's close to a witch. So. This is wonderful. The rose witch is not to be scorned. I can hear her laughter now. The blood will burn for the sins of their lover's scorn. She's not going to let their souls have any peace ever. It's my kind of gal. I love this poem. Great emotion in it. Good job.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, really dark. It has sort of flavor like mine was, the curse of the witch. There's a part, the sailors divided. How come the Sea of Galilee? Any other reason other than the way it sounds? Gentle sea. Because
the Sea of Galilee holds a lot of religious aspects to it.
Yeah.
So to put something so unholy and something that might be holy, the justification of that, I thought was kind of sick and twisted.
No, it makes sense, and out of all the seas, the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah. To rise her birth of witchery from the Sea of Galilee, because
that's where the battle of good and evil is to be fought.
Right.
I'm again.
And very few people may get that, but you got that.
What's that?
I said very few people would get that reference, so I'm glad you caught that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good job.
Very, very cool. So we covered all the poems, and I only went a little over the hour, so I'm a happy camper. And I wanted to, although I already did the whole rundown and told everybody that you'd be back next week, my sweet, I just want to remind everyone that tomorrow night at 10 p.m., you can join Pretty Bird on What the Flock with ghost stories. Check out the topic board. I'm about to put it up so that you can click on it and share some ghost stories. And I am also, like I usually do at the end of each of my shows, I will also put the link to my show for next Monday up so that you can get a glance at the art and choose your favorite one. I got a variety of all kinds of different pictures from I think there's a picture of, what was her name, Reagan from The Exorcist. But there's a really cool variety of dark art to choose from. So you could take that wherever it may lead you. There's skulls and creepy ghosts and the Grim Reaper. There's a really, really cool redheaded spider woman chick. And then there's this freaky woman in like red veils and flaming skulls and just a pair of hands that are holding on to each other tight. All kinds of, oh, and there's the redhead. So I guess I put, when I started seeing some of these, sweet, I started seeing you, so there's more than one redhead in this one. there's some really clever art from really scary and disgusting to just scary. So take take it wherever it leads you. I am looking forward to that show. And that's next week. 10 p.m. You sure can?
One year, I think it was about the fourth year of Halloween, where my wife and I would turn the whole house into, in the backyard, into a haunted house for the kids. We had got new neighbors next door, and they were a nice couple, young couple. They had like six or seven kids. She was constantly, I guess, she must have been pregnant since she was 15. But they had a bunch of kids, and I couldn't wait to get the haunted house done to invite them over and show them the haunted house, which I did. He saw me start to build it probably early September, and by the week of Halloween, went over and invited them if they wanted to come over and walk through the haunted house. No, I got no. That is devil worshiping, and got the door shut in my face. Whoa!
Oh my God!
I know. Are you kidding me? You're taking Halloween for a kid. It's not devil worshiping. I don't know what they're talking about, but oh man. So from then on, we figured we were the devil worshiping neighbors.
The devil worshiping neighbor.
But to take you, I mean, it wasn't that, well, it was 20 years ago, so the kids have grown up now, but Halloween was still, you know, witches and ghosts, and I had never run across that before. I said, no, that's devil worshiping.
No.
Call me a devil worshiper.
No.
No. That is terrible. So, you know, what I want to bring up, as a matter of fact, since my suite is here, is how proud are you of the hero dog with his shiny silver medal?
Oh, my God. I was so, I'll tell you what, he taught me a lesson that day, okay, because I really only take him out once a year. Just, you know, to see how he can do. He loves to be outside. He loves to be around the frisbee dog. He loves to see his old friends and stuff. And you know what? I took him out, and I totally underestimated him, and he bit me in the ass, let me tell you. Because we've been doing a freestyle routine, and I cut it back. I'm like, okay, we're going to cut it back. You know, you are 14. And he got mad. He was like, no, this is the way we do it. So he starts doing his tricks like he knows he's supposed to do them. And he's like, come on, Mom, you're not doing it right. And he gives me this look. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it right. And he just knew every trick he was supposed to do. He knew what throws I was supposed to make. And he was just on top of it. He was amazing. He was so good at what he was supposed to do. I was just absolutely amazed by him. I mean, he was just a killer. He was so good. And I tell you what, he was so proud to wear that medal. Could you not tell it in his little face? He's like, check me out. I'm on the day. And you know, I don't know if you've heard it, but the song he did his routine to was Miley Cyrus's I Used to Be Young. And I'm like crying out there, trying not to cry. So that was his song we did our routine to. Was I Used to Be Younger than Miley Cyrus. So if you haven't heard that song, I suggest you listen to it. And just, he was beautiful. He was great. The announcers loved it, you know, because they've all known him for 14 years, too. So. And he was just proud as he could be. But he, like, literally just kind of looked at me and went, what are you doing? You're screwing up. That's not our move. Because I had cut moves out. And he was, like, trying to, you know, like, weave through my leg. And I'm like, what are you doing? You can't. He's like, I can do what I'm supposed to. Step up.
You know, there was a look on his face like, and this is how it's done.
Yeah.
But we were so excited that when we closed out the show on Saturday, we gave him one last shout out, attaboy Amadeus. So it was, we were glad you shared.
I know I couldn't call, but I knew you'd be really happy. So I interrupted your show. And I was hoping you wouldn't get upset, so I'm glad you didn't. But I knew I had to show you right away. So.
Oh, yeah. We were very excited. three of us were very excited for him and for you, and the picture was adorable. And like I said, it was one of the last things we said as we left was, go on a dais.
You know, there's something about their eyes, the Aussies and Border Collies, when they're working, and it's just a pleasing.
Oh, yeah.
So the eyes
and not
intense.
To be outdone, I didn't say that Gunnar took a bomb. So he did really well, too.
Oh.
So, that was
your video?
Gunnar, too.
Video.
I got video of Amadeus and I, but not of Gunnar and I. But, yeah, I have the video of me.
Is it on
Amadeus
YouTube?
Out there. No.
That's Christ.
I do not know. I do not put myself on YouTube. I have a private video, please.
Was it a competition?
I will send.
Was there a name?
It was a full competition, yeah.
I'll try to look it up.
It's not going to be there. I just think
is that the national?
No.
Is that national? Or is it?
No. No. It was a local. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a local. But I have it. If you want, I'll send it to you privately. Okay.
I'd like to see. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. I will send it to you privately. All right, guys. I will let you go, and I'll see if I can send that off to you. Okay?
Awesome.
Okay. Excellent.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Give him a big squeeze from his Aunt Deb.
I will. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Night. That's so
awesome. Night, sweet.
Good night.
All right, everyone. So here we are at the end of the show. And I want to thank our sponsor, AP Taylor, and my other board members as well, Hatter and Sweet. And I want to thank Stephen and Angel and Gerald and Wayne and Jenny for the awesome poems. The shows wouldn't be anything without all of you, and we appreciate you very, very much. Again, don't forget to tune in tomorrow night at 10 for Ghost Stories with Pretty Bird on What the Flock. And you can go ahead and click on the chat wall link I put up for my show next week and get an early pick on your favorite picture. And before I play the closing song, I want to say that AC/DC is an Australian rock band formed in 1973, and they were founded by rhythm guitarist and backing vocalist Malcolm Young and the lead guitarist Angus Young. Their current lineup comprises of Angus, bassist Cliff Williams, drummer Phil Rudd, longtime lead vocalist Brian Johnson, and rhythm guitarist Steve Young, a nephew. The music has been variously described as hard rock, blues rock, and heavy metal, but the band calls it simply rock and roll. They are cited as former influences of the new wave British heavy metal bands such as Iron Maiden and Saxon. And AC/DC was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2003. And I thought after a night of witches and warlocks that it would be a nice way to end the show with the tune Hell's Bells. AC/DC, everyone. Love and respect. Thanks, Hatter.
Anytime. Thank you.
again, everyone. See you next week. Love and respect all. Night, Hatter.
Bye, Dave. Good night.